from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
We gather with love in the name of God,
who loves each and every child.
We gather with hope as the body of Christ,
who is the hope of the world.
We gather with justice called by the Spirit,
whom Jesus called the Advocate.
Come, let us worship on this Children's Sabbath Day.
With love, hope, and justice.
The Children's Time this morning is presented by our church's puppeteers.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. When you were baptized as a baby, the banner of our church wall said, "I have called by you by name, and you are mine." God uses each of us to do the work he wants us to do. Did you know that God even uses people that don't even know him?
In our Bible text today, there is a king named Cyrus. He lived in Babylon, far away from where the Israelites lived. But he was a mean king. He took many people away from their homes and made their lives and made them live in his empire. But God chose Cyrus to be an example and let others people know that God is the only God that we must believe in.
God is the only one who makes light and dark. He helped King Cyrus be greater because he helped him win over other armies. He gave him riches so that King Cyrus would know that God is the only God.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us do your will in our lives and love others. In Jesus' name, amen.
The anthem this morning is "The Lord is My Rock," sung by our youth choir, God's Singers.
Help me through.
Testament and Epistle lessons are read by Becky Snyder. They're followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, Remember the Children, by Pastor Gene Maul.
Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue the nations before him and ungird the loins of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other beside me. There is no God. I gird you, though you do not know me, that men may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I am the Lord who do all these things. Here ends the first reading. This morning's second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brethren beloved by God, that he has chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and a true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Here ends the second reading.
St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of the malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used in the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is on this? And whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How ironic, as we head into Children's Sabbath, that we read an editorial in the California newspaper that reads, "With heavy hearts." It is with heavy hearts that the California Democrat's front page for a third week in a row informs readers about a child tragedy. A 16-year-old dies in a car crash near High Point this week. A 2-year-old dies in his front yard near Latham last week. A 4-year-old dies in a house fire in McGirt the week before that. These were all accidents, and the victims were all too young. And when we see tragedies such as these, Like you, we grieve and wonder why. And we hope and pray that tomorrow we can report an achievement and celebration and not a tragedy. Well, not many days go by without seeing something in our newspapers about injuries to children or deaths of children. It often seems so senseless and so meaningless. As one newspaper commentary put it, crimes against children are crimes against the community. We grieve as a community. In Maryland, a police officer proclaimed, "Okay, now it's gotten personal," when he was called to help with a situation outside of a school. A community is bereaved because it has lost part of its brightness and joy that all children bring and provide. Take a child to a care center and just watch the faces brighten up, and you will see what that means to them who are there. A community is bereaved because it lost their potential gifts that they may have offered through the years. A community is bereaved because these are the very ones we expect to protect and care for, and we have failed. Society as a whole has a mandate: care for the children and others who need our help. We grieve when our sense of well-being has been attacked and threatened. A community does not forget crimes against its children. As I grew up in my early years, my father would talk about two situations that happened in Missouri. The Lindbergh baby in St. Louis, Bobby Greenlee's child in Kansas City. Both had been kidnapped at a very early age, and I bet there's some out here who know about those as well. We live in the Oklahoma City area at one time, where the Alfamura building was struck by the truck bomb. Many of you may know about this. Well, Gladys and I were about 12 miles away from downtown Oklahoma City at the time. She was at the church, and I was on my way headed south. When I got there, she said there was such a loud noise, I went out of the building to see if a plane might have crashed. And I said, well, there was a big plume of smoke that went up in the distance. We put our heads together and we turned on the radio, and then the reports started coming in. And all of a sudden, this sobering announcement, there's a daycare center inside. And we know that all the children did not make it out alive. We know that we cannot just build a cocoon around our lives and the lives of our children. See, as a church, we are not to promote fear, but we hang our hats on faith and hope and love. And these words are tucked in that second reading for today, one that begins with a greeting to you of grace and peace. And it says, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, love, and hope are not qualities to be possessed, but they become tasks to be done. And we have some work to do to maintain these among ourselves and in our community. We know that problems do occur, but God is still there. As the hymn writer put it, this is my Father's world, oh let me not forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. And we get up and boldly follow him. As a congregation, we care about our children, I have no doubt. I mean, there's the choir, there's children's time, there's vacation Bible school, there's Sunday school going on, there's Wednesday evening rock. There's Bible camps to go to. We reach out and support and wish to strengthen our care of children. And let me say, never give up on your support of children. No, let me rephrase that. Never, never, never give up on your support of children. We can look at our first reading for today. We heard a lot about it in the puppet theater here a little bit ago. Isaiah was talking with the people in exile. God brought an outsider, King Cyrus, to help free the people from exile. We realize that many of them may never have made at home, for they were there 50 years. But their children had an opportunity to return to the place of their roots, perhaps a place that the children may never have seen but heard about through their parents. And there is hope again. In Isaiah 45, then, the prophet declares that despite the apparent failure, neither God nor his people have been defeated. Israel correctly understands that God is the one and the only omnipotent deity, and that Israel's exile results from God's decision to discipline his people for their callous treatment of the poor and the needy. For Isaiah, the seemingly hopeless situation of Israel's exile contained a chastisement from God, but also God's plan to restore them again. Isaiah asserts then that it is precisely because God is so powerful that he could use people like Cyrus, a person who did not worship him, to bring a reign of righteousness, justice, and mercy to Israel. Cyrus was a political military leader who was impressing the ancient world with his success. But first and foremost, then, he now became an instrument of God. For the sake of Israel, it says, my chosen, I call you Cyrus by name, though you do not know me. Well, through the years, others have answered that call as well. There have been some lions of justice in our recent century. Names that pop up would be like Bishop Desmond Tutu, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi. They did not succumb to persecution or to the powerful forces of injustice or to personal doubts, but they were agents of transformation because they dared to be. Most were Christians, but some might have worshipped other gods who also helped with this. But the presence of God in their lives was unmistakable. Like them, we are actual human beings with a full range of strengths and weaknesses. And like them, we are called to be God's agents in the world. We do not need to be perfect. We just need to be perfectly ready to act. And we all are called then to participate in God's plan of compassionate restoration. God never forsakes us, and we need not forsake each other. We come now to the gospel reading, a reading which speaks to the theme of children's Sabbath in yet another voice, not that of Paul or Isaiah, but of Jesus himself. They come after Jesus one more time with a question. First, they butter him up with some flowery language, but then it was really meant to trap Jesus. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? And Jesus says, if he would say no, they would report him to Pilate. If he says yes, well, then they say he's too chummy with that emperor. So he says, give me a coin. Hold it there. Whose likeness do you see? And they say, well, it's Caesar. And then he challenges them. Well, pay to Caesar things that are there for him, and pay to God the things that are there for God. See, to us, we are stamped in God's image already from creation. We need to figure out our priorities, even as Jesus is talking to them needed to do. Jesus' response does not really offer a clear-cut guidance on how to balance our secular and our religious commitments. It does not tell us how much we are to contribute to the poor and the needy. Certainly, there are community needs that can best be met by common use of our resources. He did not say that we don't give to the emperor. You know, for instance, the schools that we build for our children are pooled resources that we give through our communities. And certainly, there are needs that remain our responsibility, or things that we do collectively as faith communities. But they wish to trap Jesus in an either or. And Jesus gives them a both and type of approach. We have responsibility in several directions. The coin, the emperor, the empire, they're all God's. As a child of God, we pay our taxes to the community and we care for those in need of our assistance, including our children. Each of us must decide our priorities in fulfilling our calling from God. So today is Children's Sabbath around the country. Remember the children. We all have a name in front of your bulletin for today. Some names you might know, some you don't know. I have Cade Bollinger on this one in my possession here. Find out who they are if you don't know who they are. And if you see them, give them a hug and pray for them. Send them a note. Remember the children. May we always help them to know the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We close with a message to our children. Grace and peace to you, our children. We will always give thanks for you. We pray for you constantly because we love you. We love you just as God loves you. We know, children of God, that God loves you so much, there are no words to express it. There are no wonders we can perform. But we know that the power of God is in you. We can see it upon your faces. You remind us of God's love. Teach us to see the world as you do. Surprise us with the wonders you see. Show us what gifts God has given you. And we will bless you and protect you. And we will always give thanks for you. We will bless you in the name of our God. We will bless you again and again. Grace and peace be to you, our children. Grace and peace to you who show us God's glory shining through your faces. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. On this weekend, celebrated as Children's Sabbath in congregations across the land, trusting that God hears both the prayers we offer in the silence of our hearts and those we are voicing together, let us pray for the church, the children, and all those in need. O God, we remember that your love became manifest in the Word, made flesh, and revealed to us as your own child. Help us to follow ever more closely Christ Jesus, who taught us that whoever would be first must be last of all and servant of all. Help us to reach out to the needs of the children. We pray for all the peoples of the world, and especially the billion children and families who live on less than $1 a day, who lack clean water, health care, or education needed to live into the fullness of life, that they may find answers to their needs. O Lord, hear your children's prayer. Grant, O God, that all who gather in Christ's name will throw wide open their doors and our hearts and lift our hands and voices to proclaim your promise of love and will for justice, especially for those who are young, poor, vulnerable, and oppressed. O Lord, hear your children's prayer. Guide our nation and its leaders, that they will champion justice for those who need it most, and keep their promises to children and families. Strengthen us to move forward with hope to end child poverty and create a nation and world of justice so that every child may live into the fullness of life. O Lord, hear your children's prayer. Comfort all who suffer, especially those who are hungry, the sick and the ill, those who lack health care, those who struggle without a job or enough income to meet their needs. Be with them and support them. O Lord, hear our children's prayer. Gather to yourself all who have died, especially those who have died young and those who have died from poverty and other causes we could have prevented. Receive them into your everlasting arms of mercy. God of love, who shelters us like a mother hen and welcomes us like a father, hear the prayers of your church and grant us today what we ask of you in faith. We ask this through Christ our Savior, praying together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.